Hey, good morning. This is Tanola Oliver with the Making of the Mogul radio show and magazine. I am also the COO of Elect Leadership Academy Foundation. Wanted to jump on here this morning for one moment and be some encouragement to you. We've been talking about outliers, the lived research case study of Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. I remember when I first started to do the research as it related to Curtis 50 Cent Jackson, and I'm excited about placing the literary work in your hands. It is an amazing compilation of my account of the steps that the life, professional life of Curtis 50 Cent Jackson has taken. And so in the meantime, I wanted to, as we know, this is a safe space. I am a behavioral scientist. I've studied the life of many. I've studied the constructs of economies and the parameters in which we operate on a day-to-day basis, how we see ourselves in relation to others. And, excuse me, there's been some conversations about the intentions of people. And particularly in the culture, there's been a lot of conversation around the notion of people that enter people's lives with the intentionality of doing damage to people, or the intentionality of being a hiccup, or part of people's journey that intercept their lives in contrary ways. And so this is what I know professionally and from a personal perspective, right? Because we have those relationships that are professional, and then we have those relationships that are personal. And my perspective on both of them, and this is what has been true and evident for my life throughout the years, as someone who has observed the life of others and from a perspective of me living my life. And oftentimes I struggle with this particular platform, because this is a business and entertainment platform, but I am a woman of faith. And so oftentimes I want to say things that that include my walk of faith. And I'm always very intentional about bringing balance to that. Because for someone who was in ministry for a number of years and having a ministry platform for a number of years, I understand the necessity of people being able to know that that my business platform is my business platform. However, I am motivated to interact with people and to live my life by biblical principles. And how my life was established around the notion of faith, right? And so it is always somewhat of a vacillation of attempting to stay balanced in this space and not force my faith on people. And so despite the fact that that's who I am, I still want this to be a safe space for people who share my faith and who for people who do not. And so what I've known throughout the years is that we are all souls, right? And whether you have the same faith and belief that I do, that's fact, that each of us, we are individuals who have a soul. And this world was established on biblical principles. We know that that is evident and that is true because we know that the Bible was used for many, many years as an instrument of controlling society, right? Right on money, right? It's printed on money, and God we trust. When we look at the Constitution or when we look at the laws of the United States, there is always some evidence of the Bible interjected into the laws and just the various institutions of how we operate in society. And I'm referring to the United States because I live in the United States. And so my experience as it relates to this particular topic is from the perspective of a United States citizen, right? And so because this world is established on business principles, that is the law of the land that resonates, right? What I know beyond a shadow of a doubt is that the Lord does not play about souls, period. In my own experience, and the reason why I have always been intentional about doing right by people, period, and I don't care who it is, right? Is because I realize that each one of us are souls. And the Lord does not play about souls, period. And whether you believe in what I believe in or don't believe in what I believe in, the Bible is the law in which this country was established. And there's evidence of that faith, the faith of Christianity, that resonates throughout the history of this country. And so it is the law of the land, right? It is what establishes the laws of the Constitution and even the laws of the institutions of these United States. And when I say these institutions, I'm talking about financial institutions and beyond. What I know is that the Lord does not play about souls in my personal experience. And so oftentimes we equate people's relevance with their financial stability, right? I have been blessed to live a life that has always been financially stable. I will always be financially stable. My connections and my business circles have always kept me in a space of wealth. And that is my establishment in the earth. And nothing that anybody has ever been able to say or do has been able to push me out of those spaces. And people, when I was younger, people would encounter me and always say that my countenance felt like wealth and prosperity. And so throughout the years, I've encountered people few and far between, but I've still encountered people that felt some type of way about, I don't know, whatever it is that some people see about me that I don't even really see about myself, just being honest. And I'm using myself as an example because while I can use Curtis Jackson based on the book of Outliers, every now and again, I think it is important to interject and to tell my own story in correlation to why I was drawn to his story, right? And there have been people who intentionally befriended me or attempted to attach themselves to my life to buffet what people say that they see and feel about me. One thing that has been consistently true is that people who have done business with me, been in business with me, historically are doing very well for themselves to this day. And I attribute that not because of who I am, but because of the faith that I was established, raised in, and the principles that I was taught from just a little girl up till today has been the conduit in which I do business. And because this world is established on those principles, it is what resonates on my life, and it's what resonates on the lives of those who choose to do business with me. So it's impossible to do business with me and to come in agreement with me on a professional level and not do well. And so those few people that I've encountered throughout my career who have intentionally entered into my life to buffet that or to be contrary to that for the purpose of making some other illustration of my life are not doing that well. They destroy their own reputations and they destroy their own careers in an attempt to destroy my reputation and career. They're not doing very well for themselves. And that is what I mean when I say the Lord does not play about souls. And so I want to, because socioeconomics is real, right? And so my socioeconomics was established through my family, right? I talk about my uncles and my cousins and my mentors that became like family to me. Like, I don't have one mentor that I encountered throughout my life that is not like my family now, right? Our lives are, to this day, still very much intertwined. And what was on their life as it relates to wealth and prosperity and increase still resonates and is still prominent on my life. And I think it's okay to be honest about that. And I don't say that in a way of being buffeted, but I say that in a way of, wow, look at the God that I serve. My ex-husband has always been able to be successful at all of the things that he does because he had something on his life. And when we married, right, we established something in the earth together as our lives together. And that flow is what naturally flows on my life and why people who are wealthy and successful have always been drawn to my life. And when we encounter people, when we encounter each other, it's always been a matter of elevation for me and elevation for them. Anybody who has ever attempted to enter into my life with the purpose of being contrary to what is on my life are not doing that well to this day. They destroy their own reputations and they destroy their careers. Some of them even destroy their families when an attempt to, and so we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, right? We wrestle against principalities and against darkness. And that's why oftentimes when I have these conversations, I talk about the importance of staying in the light, right? Because it's important to ensure that you walk a path of light, of being the light, speaking the light. When people encounter you, for people to know that they are embracing the light, right? The good news. Because darkness has its rewards, and it's not a good reward, right? And so all of that is about social economics, and that is what the last chapter of Outliers is about. That is why Curtis 50 Cent Jackson has been able to be so established and so successful in his life is because of the social economics that he established with doing right by people. And has that journey and that walk for any of us ever been perfected? It has not. But I have never seen anybody who, so social economics is about who you are as an individual, and it draws people to you or draws people away from you, right? I don't know people who deal with people who don't deal with their own people. Like, there's just certain laws in the land that have pre-established themselves, right? I don't know anybody from where I come from so it's a difference if people have chosen, because I talked about on the other episode that righteousness can be offensive, right? Righteousness can be offensive to people who either are not living well or who just live their lives by shady establishments, right? Who just historically do anything to get ahead or do anything to anybody in order to make progress in the earth. I don't know anybody who has established their life with those sort of tactics who live in a space of progress and successfulness. I don't know, because of social economics, right? Like, if you are a person who is intentional about always getting over on people or using people, then you establish that social economics around yourself, and you find yourself surrounded by people who are opportunists, right? Because that's what you draw and that's what you attract. And I don't want to talk about that too much, because that's not the purpose of today, but I think there's some intentionality behind it, because we're talking about defining what socioeconomics is. And so then when we look at somebody like Curtis Jackson, who has not had a perfect walk, right? And all of us have these hiccups in our journey where, for example, somebody who is on the verge of going bankrupt, do they have the ability to pay everybody, right? No, because they're on the verge of bankruptcy, right? And so there's that notion of what that looks like, right? And so everybody has had, so when Curtis was in the process of filing bankruptcy, did he probably pay everybody, or did everybody probably get the money that they were supposed to get when he was on the verge of bankruptcy? Probably not, right? But his socioeconomics and historically the way he does business has established him in the earth as an integral businessman in the entertainment, right? As a media mogul. And so there is some socioeconomics established around that. People who do business with him do well, right? And that's what socioeconomics establishes about a person's brand and personality and how they do business. I personally have never encountered anybody who has intentionally tried to buffet, right, the brand of someone like that. And I use myself as an example because I think if I, so in constantly using Curtis as the model and example, he's a billionaire. So sometimes the path in which he's traveled, it looks untouchable, right? Because for those that follow me at the, and while I know I have a young audience as well, for those who are in my age group, the thought process is like, have we missed our opportunity to become billionaires at this age, right? And so I use myself as an example because it makes the experience, the experiential knowledge, more tangible for everyday people, right? And so from a theoretical perspective and studying, and from an experiential experience in what I've seen on a day-to-day basis and doing business, I don't know anybody who is doing well for them who has established a reputation of being shiesty or using people or intentionally attaching themselves to people's lives with the intentionality of hurting them or oppressing their brand to increase their brand. I don't know anybody who has taken that path that has established themselves financially. And that is because socioeconomics. People want to get over on people who try to get over on people. People want to do well by people who have done well by people, right? And it's not about, like, we have this university talk. It's not about energy. It is about socioeconomics. I don't know anybody who has done wrong by me in doing business who is doing well for themselves. I don't. And that's not about me. That is about the promise of who I serve and what I've established in my life and what's been established in my life that resonates in the earth. And so I've followed some very specific principles about my life that have established that social economics. And what I don't think people understand, so there's two terms I want to talk about today. I want to talk about social economics, and then I want to define what predators are, right? And so oftentimes when we use these terminologies, they have been established in the earth in other ways. And I think oftentimes we miss the opportunity to really examine the behavior, the toxic behavior, what some people have established, particularly in these past 7 to 10 years, as social media and reality TV, and this darkness that has existed in entertainment, I think that it has been an opportunities for predators to get away with more than what they should have, right? Because there has been something mirrored that we've been seeing in entertainment, that should have never really been established in the earth. But because of the darkness that has existed in entertainment, that is really so contrary to the law of the land, which is that has been established by biblical principles, that the earth has somewhat tried to resemble what it sees in entertainment. But entertainment is just that, it's entertainment, it is not a reality, right? And us as people living our lives day to day, we still have the right and responsibility and free will to make our decisions and to establish our lives according to how we've been raised and according to who we know that we are. And we don't have to lean our lives towards entertainment. And neither should entertainment have an effect on people in our environment, because there is this line of demarcation between the entertainment world and the regular world, that really we need to reestablish in the earth, right? And so I say all the time that the structure of entertainment is very important. And I am so excited about seeing the shift of the trajectory in the writing, right? To pull people back into the light and to take people out of this this false reality of darkness, right? That is so contrary to reality, right? Because there are some people who struggle with the difference, right? And so it's like, well, I won't use that example, but anyhow. And so people who lie and wait and manipulate and strategize against an individual, that is what a predator is, right? People that, and I use myself in this instance, because there's a difference between a fan and a predator, right? And so, as I've established this work, this literary work, as it relates to Curtis 50 Cent Jackson, and I've been in spaces where he's been at, I haven't waited in parking lots for him, right? Waiting in, and so I've been, while I would love the opportunity to sit down and have a conversation with him, there are some parameters, right, for rules of engagement and how we encounter each other in society, right? And so there's a line of demarcation between a fan, a professional, and a predator, right? And so as a professional, I've established a literary work. Prayerfully, it makes it to him, right? Prayerfully, I'll have an opportunity to sit down and to have a professional conversation with him. But when given the opportunity to be in the same spaces as him, I was not out in the parking lot, right? Waiting, right, for him, for, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's because then that's that line of demarcation, that predatory behavior. when you intentionally place yourself in spaces where somebody is because you want to be an opposing force in their journey, that's not being a fan, right? And that's not definitely not being a professional. And one thing about me, if I encounter you and you are disrespectful and dishonoring to me, I think your employer needs to know. I'm trying to tell you, if you are disrespectful and dishonorable to me, my son or my family, my ex-husband, anybody that I care about, and you've established yourself in the professional world, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I think it is my responsibility for your employer to know about your behavior, period. We all have some accountability in the earth. And I've said it over and over again, we are not one person in our personal space and then show up to work and become another person. Whoever you are in your personal life is who you bring to your professional life, period. And if you are harassing and stalking people in your personal life, you are beyond a shadow of a doubt a predator in your professional life as well, right? And that is that, period. People who wait in public spaces to be disrespectful and dishonorable to people in public spaces are predators. I don't care what your professional life is, right? I'm writing a 2-page letter right now about a professional who is beyond a shadow of a doubt a predator and should not be in the space that he is in, period. And I'm sending it to the highest rank of authority in his field as we talk and as I'm having this conversation right now, because it needs to be known, period. And I've given all the opportunity of the people in the space that had the ability to supervise and control his actions to do something about it, and they chose to look the other direction. So it's now my responsibility to ensure that people that have the governing authority know who this person is, and to make a decision about whether or not he should remain licensed or not. We all have some accountability. We all have some accountability. And if you are disturbing the regular enjoyment of people's pursuit of happiness, you need to be drawn into accountability, period. There is a line of demarcation between a fan, a professional, and a predator. If you find yourself in public spaces waiting on people and interacting with people so that you can be a negative conduit of energy in their lives and to be intentionally disrespectful towards them, should you have a license? Should you be in that field? And you are a predator. And you need to be dealt with accordingly. There are laws in the land that are established that say you cannot interact with people, stalk people, be disrespectful towards people, and still remain in your field. Or to pursue a specific field. Or to live your life without other people knowing, right, what you have done. And it's unfortunate because we have, and so there's things that's been established in the earth to define these terms, such as predator, right? But now that we have social media, social platforms, reality TV, it is time to start redefining and reestablishing how we define these terms and what are the rules of engagement with people. And so I wanted to have that conversation today because I often talk about it took a certain amount of boldness for me to decide to write a literary work and to do a lived research study on a personality as large as Curtis 50 Cent Jackson, right? And I've been in this space enough that we all know, right, that to some certain extent that he is keeping up with the work that I put out there about him. And I've been very intentional in ensuring that if I wanted to tell somebody else's story from a academic perspective, that I would be a conduit of positive information, which was why I stayed away from his personal life and stayed in the light of his professional life, right? But again, there's a line of demarcation between me showing up in spaces that I know that he would be in because I wanted to see a closer look at the professional that I was writing about, and then me sitting in the car in the parking lot and waiting on him, right? Because I know he's going to enter into a certain space, right? Like, there's something about certain behaviors that is not conducive of the normal rules of engagement. There are lines of demarcation between a fan, a predator, and a professional. And so as a professional, I put my work out there and I pray through interaction on professional levels and networking that work makes it to the right individuals, right? What I don't do as a professional is sit in parking lots and wait on people, right? That's not what we do as professional. And as a fan of Curtis 50 Cent Jackson, the way that I would support him as a fan would be to show up at a concert, right? But not to be sitting, waiting for him to show up at a venue, right? That I know he's having a concert at. Like there are some, like there's lines of demarcation, there's rules to engagement, there's things that establish who we are, right? There is lines of demarcation between a fan, right? A professional and a predator. And I don't care what title you have, I don't care what you do, I don't care who you think you are. I don't care who your friends are. None of that. If your behavior is predatory behavior, then you're a predator, right? Period. And if you know your friends or your family is behaving and has mannerisms that are not conducive to the professional or the human being that you know that they're supposed to be, there should be some accountability. Because if they encounter me, they're going to jail. If they encounter my son, they're going to jail. If they encounter somebody that I love and I care about and I find out about it, they're going to jail. I had to show up in a space many years ago. My grandmother was a kept woman. May her soul rest in peace. Some years ago when she decided she wanted to get back out into society and she wanted to work to maintain her relevance as a human being, because she spent all of her life taking care of people. And after my grandfather passed and a lot of her siblings had passed, she went and started working in nursing homes. And I got wind of through my family that somebody was trying to intimidate her in her workspace, somebody that was a third of her age, right? And I found out about it and I had to show up in that space for my grandmother, because I don't play about people that I love and I care about. I don't play. Do you hear me? We all have a right to pursue life and happiness. And I be damned if I allow anybody to intercept that process for me, for my son, for my ex-husband, or for anybody that I care about. And what I am telling you as I'm in this space, stop allowing people into your organizations, into your social circles, into your establishments, into your institutions, on your platforms that are toxic and who have predatory behavior. We have got to reestablish the rules of engagement and what it means to be successful in these United States of America. Period. My name is Tanola Oliver. I am a behavioral scientist. I am the COO of Elect Leadership Academy. Wilton Oliver is the CIO of Elect Leadership Academy Foundation, and also one of the writers of Elect Leadership, I'm sorry, of Making of the Mogul magazine. I am passionate as it relates to the topics, and I am passionate about the literary work Outliers, and I'm excited about you purchasing the literary work and it becoming a part of your regimented psyche, right? And how you think and how you see yourself in relation to others. Until we see each other again, live in the overflow. You can sow a seed into the ELA Foundation at $SALTROOM to have me speak at your event or to bring one of the exhibitions, the Black Barbie and Ken exhibition or the Outliers Expedition. You can email me at tanola.oliver@electleadershipacademy.com. Or electleadershipacademy@gmail.com. Again, until we see each other again, live in the overflow. Peace.